Brendan.
Hello, Alan.
Not a Thing podcast number 96. I looked it up this time, so I'd have the number right there.
I was totally prepared to take your word for it.
Well, we're going, strong as best we can. Anyway, we weren't able to line up a guest this week. The guest that I had kind of in the wings decided to bail, which is fine. You know, there's still plenty of, actually not that many opportunities between now and 100. So, you know, if you want to get on the air before 100, let us know. We'd love to have you on. And if you'd like to be on the air after 100, that's fine too.
Yeah, we're still going to need guests after 100, Alan.
Okay.
We're going to keep recording.
Good.
And we will be continuing on with a new theme song.
No way.
Yep, it's going to happen.
Oh my God. Awesome. I can't wait. I cannot wait. That's going to be exciting.
Is this in the works?
Is this another Garen O'Brien joint?
Yes, it is.
Sweet.
We just started the preliminary discussions of what we're going to do. But there will be, it will be done in time for the 100th episode.
Cool.
That's the plan.
Excellent.
So now that I've announced it, it really has to happen. Which is part of why I announced it.
Oh, nice, nice. Yeah, it's like that, you know, when you set a goal for yourself, if you put it in a public place, someone else can hold you accountable. So we're looking at you, all you listeners. You know, we're looking at you through our ears, I guess. But in any case,
we're not the NSA. We're not Microsoft turning on your video cameras on your Xboxes, or we don't have that capability yet.
No. But if you'd like to help us get it there, and would like to sponsor our show, hashtag Flat Earth, it'd be great. And feel free to sponsor us and tell us something you would like us to promote. We have no shame.
I will say anything, hashtag Flat Earth.
Well, if it's a Flat Earth or a Round Earth, it's still kind of a thing to fly from place to place. It's just faster. And one of the kind of restrictions to flying, at least according to some folks at the... Oh, who controls that? Is that the Homeland Security, I guess? Whoever maintains the no-fly list in whatever weird incarnation it is. We've talked about it on the show before about how it's kind of this secret list and it's a little weird and it's hard to tell if you're on it or why you're on it or how you'd get off. And apparently a federal judge just said, yeah, it's pretty much unconstitutional. And so I don't know what repercussions that has, if it like immediately doesn't work or if it's being narrowly applied for a specific case. But the no-fly list is unconstitutional. It doesn't give enough, you know, which is what we've said in the past, right? It doesn't give enough information. It doesn't, there's no transparency about why or how you can get on the list or get out of it. And it's just kind of weird and doesn't seem to have any actual repercussions, or not repercussions, it doesn't have any...
There's no recourse for you if you've been put on the list.
Right.
Which, it's not that the list itself is unconstitutional, because, you know, you can have a list of people who you say can't fly, but it can't be a secret shady list.
Yeah.
You need to know why you were put on it, or the fact that you're even on it, and have a way to, you know, dispute that.
Yeah. So, you know, one for the good guys, I hope. It's kind of been a thing on the show in the past, so regular listeners will either cheer or boo. Probably cheer, though.
If you don't like government secrecy, then you'll cheer?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, that's the right way.
Yeah.
I didn't want to mess that up.
Right. Government secrecy is currently a thing, but we kind of think it shouldn't be a thing.
Yes. If we are going to call ourselves an open democracy, that's what we will. That's how we should purport ourselves. If we're not, I mean, I'm fine with that. We just, you know, I want to know.
Yeah.
Am I living in a plutocracy or some sort of dictatorship? I'd at least like to have a heads up.
Yeah.
I think I could make that work. But, you know, call a spade a spade.
Right. Exactly. We're just about, you know, if you're going to repress us, be open about repressing us.
Do it to our faces. Repress us to our faces. Not with, you know, hoods over our heads. That's not cool.
Yikes. Yeah, not a thing. Being black bag, not a thing.
Definitely not a thing.
Well, something that the National Park Service declared not a thing, it is, drum roll, drones! Unmanned aerial vehicles of any kind, and that's like big ones, small ones, it doesn't really have a specific restriction. It just says anything that flies and is unmanned is not allowed on national parks grounds. And the major kind of bitter about it, I mean, is not that they, you know, listen to our show and know our drone, anti-drone kind of stance. It was because, you know, I'm sure they took that into account. But really, the main kind of thrust of it is that it's antithetical to, you know, being outdoors and in kind of a natural environment, which, you know, I agree with. I think there is something to be said for having technology kind of everywhere. I think that's kind of interesting and cool, but I think drones in particular probably come across more as a kind of nuisance than interesting thing. So, yay, National Park Service. I mean, they're not saying that they won't ever allow drones. It's more that it needs a little, like, regulation and figuring it out. So in the meantime, let's just not do that. And I'm okay with that.
You don't want to go crashing stuff into, you know, national landmarks.
Right. Because apparently it's not, they're not that easy to fly.
I have one. I mean, I'm okay with it, but I give it to someone who's never used it before, and that thing is on the ground.
There was an article on, I think it was on Boing Boing this week, about how to get good at flying them in a first-person video context, because I guess flying them line of sight is the way most people kind of come into it if you buy like the cheaper ones kind of off the shelf. But like to get the really cool kind of tracking shots and everything else, you have to really invest into something that you can fly first-person video. And if you invest in something, you know, you can also lose that investment really, really easily if you're not good at flying it. And so it had this way to kind of build up a quote-unquote cheaper version. The one interesting thing about that article was that the cheaper version ideally would use not a screen to show you where the drone is flying and what angle it's at and all that. They wanted you to wear goggles, so it's like three-dimensional and, you know, immersive. And I think that'd be really, really cool. It also like quadruples the price of the setup.
Right.
So, you know, I guess if you were, you know, really into wanting to learn to fly them, that's the way to go. Just don't fly them in national parks. I found out this weekend that my next door neighbor does, or someone they know who they had over for a party this weekend owns a drone. And so they were mostly flying it just kind of mostly straight up and down, you know, within their property line. So, you know, I didn't have to, you know, break out the automated weapon system to take it down.
Oh, you can take care of that manually, Alan. You've got the equipment.
It would be.
But I would recommend, if your neighbor does have one, you should keep your blinds closed.
Yeah, right. It's so not okay. I think it does need more regulation, especially kind of private use. But I'm glad to see that commercial use is also being looked at. The FAA released a thing saying that they're not allowing commercial delivery from drones. You know, that made kind of a big splash when I think it was Amazon announced it, kind of in jest, but they had a video of, like, supposedly you buy something and then this, like, multi-rotor copter will fly it out to you, drop it off, and then fly away. It sounds like an, you know, interesting and futuristic technology, just is also flying unmanned things in the, you know, general airspace, and I'm not 100% sure that's okay.
That's good. Oh, the only thing I'm worried about is Sky Pirates. Amazon starts sending up Xboxes or whatever they're shipping. Sky Pirates. It'll happen. It'll be a thing.
And it won't be cool Sky Pirates like, was it Disney's Tailspin?
Where, yeah, Don Carnage.
Right. It's just never going to be as cool as that. It's going to be like the did you hear about the riot control drone that they're selling in South Africa, I think?
No, so, but I'm sure if it's from South Africa, it's going to have something crazy on it.
Oh yeah, so it has, you know, it's a multi-rotor drone. It's like a hexcopter or something, but it has a little multi-directional paintball guns that are you can fill with you know, the pepper spray balls that they use for riot control.
What?
And so it's this, like, aerial bombardment platform. It's the thing from Captain America the Winter Soldier. Spoiler alert.
I really want to visit South Africa. This is the country that has brought us that, and also the car defense system that shoots, yes, the man-sized fireball out the side of the car to prevent carjackings.
Right, because it's that bad.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Those aliens must be getting out of control over there.
Fucking prawns. Well, in any case, so drones are kind of on the outs in the news this week. I'm sure something will come up next week that will make them a little more palatable. But I think, for the most part, we're still going to call them mostly not a thing.
Yeah, whatever we can do to stem the tide of robots, I'm in favor of. Call me crazy now, but in 20 years... or 50 years, or however long it takes for me to be right.
Yeah, they're gonna look back on the Not a Thing podcast and just be like, "Oh, those guys so had it right."
They saw it coming, but and no one would listen. I feel like Sarah Connor.
Right. I have to be talking into a tape recorder and recording our show instead of using this kind of fancy software package.
I have to be clear, though. I do not hallucinate children's playgrounds on fire. It doesn't go that far.
That was pretty epic.
So weird.
Yeah. Well, kind of interesting and weird is... a new story about one of the potential misuses of Google Glass, as if we didn't already have enough of them, just kind of hearing about them in general. There was a story about how they could be easily used to steal passwords, because you can just have that the video recording aspect of it going essentially whenever you want, and you can potentially trigger it without any kind of noise or you know, motion or anything like that. So that video recording can happen whenever. And usually people think of that in the context of, I just don't want to be on camera without knowing. Well, apparently one thought of way to use that is not to record people, but record people typing in passwords. And that's probably bad. I mean, I think the camera on them is not quite high fidelity enough to be able to tell exactly what's going on, but I mean,
camera technology. Well, they said that it can determine the password from, I think it was like 15 feet, but if you use it in conjunction with the digital camera, it's they can figure it out from like 44 meters.
I like how you switched from English to you know, metric in there. It's
we're an international podcast, Alan. I have to keep it up.
Well, yeah, that's a long ways away. 44 meters is...
Oh, yeah, 150 feet, whatever.
Yeah, yeah, that's really far away. I mean, I still have that kind of reflex from when I worked in IT of when I'm at someone's desk and they go to type their password. I immediately look away, just randomly look off into another direction.
Yeah, oh, I always find something so fascinating when someone's typing in a password.
Yeah, it's just common courtesy. And so... I think, you know, if someone is intensely looking, they're probably doing it on purpose. So, you know, watch for the little recording light for as long as that's required on Google Glass. Or just, you know, actively shun people that have Google Glass.
That's definitely could be a thing.
I know that it's... I mean, the backlash has already started. There are already places that have signs that that say, you know, hey, don't wear glass when you're inside. And some are a little more kind of confrontational than that. But yeah, I think...
I have yet to see those up in Sonoma County. I think that's the Silicon Valley thing.
It might be.
I guess what this means is we need to get a jump on the next industry, which is password protection hoods. That you can wear over your device.
Yeah, that would be...
You know, like, all kinds of interesting designs. Really getting sure. On the nerd sector there.
Yeah. I know that I used to... or my dad used to... Yeah, I don't actually do this, but I rely on being very fast at a 10 key. So my I'm at the ATM, I can do that pretty quickly. But I remember talking with my dad once, and the way that he... puts his pin in is that he holds his hand kind of as, you know, palm out, but he doesn't use his fingers to type. He uses his thumb, and he kind of tucks his thumb in underneath the hand so you can't see where it's at. So if you look at it, it looks like he's just hitting like the entire keypad at once, like for all of the keys. And I thought that was really, really paranoid of my dad, and I was super paranoid. Proud. Was super duper proud.
Paranoid and clever. It's a solid combination.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Well, kind of in that paranoid and clever kind of mood is a story that I read about an open source router project. And so routers, everyone has like routers at home now, whether they know it or not, actually. Most people, I mean, if they're getting internet from a place, they almost always have a router because they're sharing it. And some enterprising folks have written software code that you can hack into the router and make it do more than, you know, you've paid for, essentially. I mean, all a router is doing is taking one internet connection and sharing it, but often they have a lot of kind of hardware more than they need to do that job. And so you can unlock features like VPN or filtering or advanced logging, things like that. Well, one group made a router software that makes it so you can share your Wi-Fi connection from your router. And you know, you can always do that. You can always just have an open Wi-Fi connection. But the main problem with doing that is that it opens up your internal network for people to look at too. So they don't just get the internet, they get essentially access to any computers that you have inside. And so this router essentially splits your connection, so you can have one connection that is internet only, and so you're sharing. You can share that, and you can also limit it and control the amount of bandwidth usage. And this essentially turns your home router into kind of a just a shared Wi-Fi access point. And it has the potential for, you know, just being, what is it? What's the term? Generous with your internet connection. I mean, if you are not using it.
It sounds to me like an open source version of a guest network.
Yeah, exactly. And it's paranoid in that it does kind of protect your internet, but it's clever in that I think the way that it does the Wi-Fi is that they have a, I mean, you can make it whatever you want, but they suggest using a Wi-Fi access point that is common, so you can essentially roam from neighborhood to neighborhood, assuming that these Wi-Fi points were widespread, with the same, you know, the same
SSID.
Yeah,
it's gonna be Linksys. If they're gonna choose one, they should just choose Linksys.
Oh, I was gonna say ATT Wi-Fi, but yeah. But no, I think that's an interesting way to make. I've heard them called metropolitan area networks, man, which is just wrong. But anyway, just kind of a good shareable Wi-Fi network, and I like the idea of kind of ubiquitous internet, especially fast internet, only because 3G or 4G or whatever slow thing that AT&T calls its wireless network is it's not enough sometimes.
But I need all 40 gigs of my download. Or meg, sorry.
Oh, I wish 40, I had 40 gigs. Wow, you got like no, fiber meg, to the home.
Sorry. No, what?
Anyway,
I think this is an opportune time to ask, what are you drinking tonight, Alan?
Well, I'm actually drinking water this week.
Oh, the shoe is on the other foot.
Yeah, I had a beer at dinner. It was a Belgian white ale from Rock Bottom Brewery. But I decided to sober up for the show.
Well, I'm glad one of us did. I am enjoying... Wait, so you had a white ale?
Yes.
I'm having a black IPA.
Very nice.
From Eel River Brewing Company. It's the Onyx Black IPA.
Cool.
And it was all 24 ounces of it were delicious. And that's all I'm going to admit to have drinking on the podcast.
Nice. Yeah, I like... I think Bear Republic has a black IPA too. I think it's the Racer 10. Because Racer 5 is their normal IPA. I want to say Racer 10 is a black IPA. And I remember really enjoying that one.
Pretty much if you find a beer from Bear Republic, it's going to be good.
Yeah, I concur. But Eel River, where is that?
Somewhere in Northern California.
Oh, good. We need to keep, you know, investigating Northern California breweries. I mean, there's apparently a very nice scene in San Diego. I've just not had the ability to go visit them as often.
I do have to note on the bottle, this is an organic beer.
Mm-hmm.
Certified organic, and on the bottle it says be natural, drink naked.
This is an audio only podcast. I'm just pointing that out, everyone.
You're welcome.
Audio only podcast.
You can find my live stream at chatroulette.com. Not a thing.
Not a thing. Well, kind of a thing that is generally thought of by big media companies as not a thing is BitTorrent. I mean, it's gotten a really bad rap as a kind of content, shall we say, acquiring service.
Content Robin Hood.
And I think it has a lot of good setups about it. I mean, BitTorrent as a protocol really thrives around having a lot of people sharing stuff, but not necessarily sharing the whole file. They might only have part of the file, and it's a method for kind of balancing the load out of uploading and downloading. And so BitTorrent Sync is a neat kind of idea about file storage, and it's it takes that and into kind of a more, or you know, they're hoping more legitimate kind of direction by saying that you can store your own files in the quote-unquote cloud, but rather than having the cloud come from a specific service like Microsoft Azure or Amazon Web Services or Dropbox or whatever, you use BitTorrent Sync, and it essentially spreads your files across multiple people. And then that way, none of those people can, A, steal your file, but B, it means that when you're downloading, you're coming from multiple sources, and so it's less likely to be bogged down by any one person. And so that's being kind of pushed around in alpha right now. I've seen billboards for it in San Francisco. It's kind of interesting. I know that they had a release of I want to say they released some music artist's album on it, and I can't remember the name, which probably speaks to their marketing campaign needing a little more help. But you know, I thought that fit with the open source guest network thing. This is like open source like file storage, and you know, it's an interesting, you know, method for saving your data. I see, you know, the combination of those two is really kind of distributing both computing power and file storage. And it's really, I think, the way that you're going to get that kind of global computer kind of thing going on, which is fine until it, you know, gains sentience.
Yeah, that's a problem.
So maybe it's not a thing.
I still don't trust the cloud.
No, and it's you shouldn't. It's still kind of nebulously defined, and oh yeah, good pun, Alan. Great job, nebulous. Anyway, it's not really kind of there yet. I think there's things that that work and things that don't work, and sometimes it is just a buzzword in things. And so I found out this week, actually, I think it was someone posted it on their wall and Julie shared it. It was really funny. It's a browser plugin. Initially, she had heard of it as just a Chrome plugin, but apparently they have it for a bunch of other browsers. And it's called Cloud to Butt. And what it does is it looks for the word cloud in any website and just does a find and replace on it to butt. So you have things like Adobe Creative Butt, or what's another good one? you know, it's a butt-based storage, you know, Dropbox. It's that kind of thing.
Dropbox.
The other, right?
It just. Sorry, so you're telling me this is a butt plug-in.
Very nice.
We are, yes, living in the future, people.
Yes. The other thing that it does, which I thought was interesting, was that it also goes a little further and doesn't just change when it says cloud to butt. It also will look if it says the cloud. If it's, you know, store stuff in the cloud, it changes the cloud to my butt, which I think is just a nice touch. Just a nice, you know, little ribbon on that one.
We are grown men, and we can't not laugh at that.
Yeah, it's a browser plugin that I'll probably have to add, especially because the company I work for has cloud in the names of multiple products, and it's going to be hilarious just hilarious reading those. I think one of the greatest things that the these guys did when they wrote the plugins is that they made a Flickr pool, and we'll link that too. But so if as people come across really particularly hilarious instances of cloud to butt, they've taken screenshots of them and put them up on that website, and it's great.
It's really good.
Sometimes you just need a good laugh, and this is one of those good laughs.
Go have some chuckles.
So another thing that I definitely chuckled at, but I also thought it was just really well done, was that trailer you found.
Yeah, it was a trailer in the style of Guardians of the Galaxy. So they use the same pacing, the same music cues, the same background music, but they re-edited it with scenes from the original Star Wars trilogy. It's the only Star Wars trilogy, and it's really well done.
Yeah, I think they got the tone really, really, really good. I mean, the if you've seen the Guardians of the Galaxy trailer, it has a couple, you know, points in it that are light, a couple points that are serious. There's kind of a through line of like, you know, the people being kind of self-aware and somewhat, you know,
snarky.
Yeah. And so they were able to pull out that from, you know, the entirety of the Star Wars trilogy in order to keep the tone kind of fun and fit. And they did a really good job. Like I think one of my favorite bits is when, it's the Millennium Falcon kind of swooping in and out, in and out of frame, and it's got the twang and the guitar going. It's just nice.
Yeah, there's
this
great,
you know,
great
joyriding. It's working out. And then the
R2-D2 playing Hooked on a Feeling.
Yeah, I was surprised at how well done it is. It's
it really made me want to watch Star Wars. Because, you know, I never want to do that.
Yeah. Well, it's also just great. I love mashed up trailers. There's something just really, I mean, it's so much work to do, you know, because it really can change the tone of what kind of movie it's going to be. I mean, I remember the first mashed up trailers I saw were they took movie trailers for different things and really turned them into different genres. So the one that I remember most clearly was they took The Shining and then kind of recut it into a, they made it look like a kind of father-son, they're not connecting, and so they go on vacation to rediscover their relationship. You know, it's hilarious, just really, really well done. I might have to go find a few of those and go down a YouTube rat hole or two tonight.
Oh, I do have another surprise topic.
Oh,
they announced, I believe today, that they're going to be rebooting Predator.
Oh yeah,
which it seems like they kind of already did.
Yeah, well, I mean,
Predators.
You can say that they redid it when they did the Alien crossover movies, because those were really not Predator movies. I mean, it was like they have Predator, they have the license to use them, and we'll throw them in, but we don't. I mean, the thing about, I think, the first Predator movie was just how, like, kind of cool and interesting they were as a thing, especially the second one, which really kind of introduced them as, like, yeah, they're sort of good, all ish, right? They have morals or whatever.
Yeah, but Predator 2 was a terrible movie.
Like, okay,
really
it was.
Bad.
It was really bad. It did.
Predator 1 was good.
Predator 1 was good. Predator 2 did have an amazingly gratuitous sex scene. It's maybe one of the clearest things I remember from that movie.
Clearly had a big impact on you.
And then the Aliens versus Predator movies were just awful. Awful.
Predators was pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, it was the first movie again.
that's why it's odd that they're rebooting it again. But the interesting thing about it is that the person who's going to be writing and directing it mm-hmm. is Shane Black, who was in the original Predator.
That's great.
As an actor.
Oh, my God. Really?
Yes. He was Hawkins, the guy from Gladys.
That's perfect. Okay. All right. I'm on board.
Yeah, he was an actor in, like, the 80s and the early 90s, and then he started directing and writing movies.
No, that's great. Yeah, Shane Black from a Kiss Kiss Bang Bang fame.
Iron Man 3.
Yeah. That's great.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that turns out.
Yeah. Yeah, I might have to see that. I think there's a lot of kind of potential there. I don't know if... I'm not sure. What would the setting you want? Would you want them on Earth again? Or... I don't know. Do you want
probably
them kind of flying through space? Yeah. So you want a human aspect of it? You don't want just predators doing predatory stuff?
You need someone to do the exposition.
Okay.
Oh, yes. That would be an interesting move. Is to have a completely silent, like, no dialogue Predator movie.
Well,
but I kind of feel like that would be wasting Shane Black's talents because he's a talented writer for dialogue.
His dialogue is great.
Very snappy.
And I don't know if the kind of the lies that dinosaur movie trailers have told to me is any indication. I don't think people are ready for a completely dialogue-less movie. I think it was both... Was it Disney that made the dinosaur movie?
The 3D dinosaur Walking movie? With Dinosaurs or whatever?
Well, there's that too. So the dinosaur movie, like a while ago, I remember the trailer for it, seeing it in the theater, and it's the this egg being snatched up from a nest by a... you know, flying dinosaur, and it's soaring over the prehistoric world. So you see all sorts of different ones. You see, like, the huge flora and fauna and everything. And it drops the egg into this grove, and then it starts to hatch. And that was the whole trailer. And it was like, oh my god, that's gonna be great. And then you watch it, and they talk, and it's awful. I mean, from the get go, awful. Like, you have completely lied to me, movie trailer, and made me feel awful. So this is like the opposite of that Guardians of the Galaxy trailer and what can be done with trailers. So they can be used for bad too. So just be aware. But yeah, trailers. But the Walking with Dinosaurs one, they made those talk too. And the initial trailer for them had no words. And I think they know the impact of that. They know that it's an interesting kind of premise, but I think
they already made like 9 or 10 Land Before Time movies. I don't think they need to do that anymore.
Yeah, I don't think all of those went to theaters, but
no, I don't think they did. Yeah, I know at least a couple did.
Right, I'm pretty sure up to maybe 4.
It's like Dinosaur Bambi.
Yeah. Except no, no deep kind of mortality kind of moment.
No, don't. I may be misremembering, but I'm pretty sure some dinosaurs died in those movies.
I'm not going to go back and watch them just to be sure.
No, that's what Wikipedia is for.
Cool. Well, I think we've mostly exhausted the... store of things to talk about this week, so we'll just wrap it up. We'll put a bow on it. We'll tell you to keep listening. We're still marching towards 100 and the new theme song, so at least you know that's coming.
That's just a hint of all the fun to come.
We really have to have a meeting or two about what's going on.
Yeah, we really need to get on that. You're going to cut this part out, right? Don't right, show so, weakness, they'll pounce.
So join us in the coming weeks. We're sure to having a lot of good stuff as we go. And if you'd like to actually join us for the show, let us know. It'll be good. We'd love to have you on the podcast with us. So, yeah, I will talk to you next week, Brendan.
Till next time, Alan.